Our Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of prayer. You'll find the basis of the message here in Matthew chapter 21, and especially verses 21 and 22. The Lord Jesus Christ declared in this passage of His Word, Matthew 21, verse 13, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." You will notice that He made such a declaration when He cleansed the temple in verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ opened His ministry with a similar act in John chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. And now, 3 years later, the temple was defiled again. They had turned the court of the Gentiles into a place that was foreign to Jews, where they could exchange money and purchase sacrifices. What had begun as a service and a convenience for visitors from other lands turned into a lucrative business. The dealers charged exorbitant prices, and no one could compete with them or oppose them. Historians tell us that Annas, the former high priest, was the manager of this enterprise, assisted by his sons. The purpose, of course, of the court of the Gentiles in the temple was to give the outcasts an opportunity to enter into the temple and to learn from Israel about the true God. But the presence of this religious market turned many sensitive Gentiles away from the witness of Israel. The court of the Gentiles was used then for a mercenary business, not a missionary business. Jesus called the temple "My house," affirming the divine ownership of the temple. He called it also here the house of prayer. He was quoting, of course, from Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. And if you go there in the 56th chapter of Isaiah, it denounces, of course, the unfaithful leaders of Israel. The phrase, "the den of thieves," comes from Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 11, and is part of a long sermon where Jeremiah the prophet delivered at the gate of the temple, rebuking the people for the same sins that the Lord Jesus Christ saw and judged in His day. Why did Jesus call the temple a den of thieves? Because the place where thieves hide is called a den. The religious leaders and some of the people were using the temple and the Jewish religion to cover up their sins. What does God want in His house? God wants prayer. "My house shall be called the house of prayer." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 indicates the emphasis that Paul led to Timothy in relation to prayer. And of course, prayer emphasizes our dependence upon God and our faith in His Word. And He wants people to depend upon Him and to trust in His Word. There should be power in God's house, and there will only be power in God's house where God's people are given to prayer. Of course, praise is another feature of God's house. But I want to focus today upon prayer. "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Especially drawing our thoughts to what Jesus said about prayer here in Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed,' and 'Be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There are four things that I want to draw your attention to in relation to prayer from this passage this morning. First of all, that which is essential in prayer. The Bible tells us here in verse 21, if ye have faith and doubt not. The Bible speaks in verse 22 about believing. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words in response to the disciples' reaction to the fig tree that was cursed by Christ. And this fig tree had swiftly withered away. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 20, if you note it, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And then Jesus responded with these words in our text today. You'll notice words similar in Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 22. And there in Mark 11, 22, Jesus said in response to the disciples, he said, have faith in God. Or the margin reads it, have the faith of God. You see, my friend, faith is the vital ingredient in our prayers. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing in his person. Believing in his power. And the question is, and the challenge to our hearts this morning is this, have we this vital ingredient of faith in our prayers? If not, then our praying will be ineffectual. But with it, our praying will be effectual. You see, my friends, today unbelief is the scourge of the Christian church. We pray, but we don't believe that God will answer prayer. May the Lord deliver us today from unbelief. Let the doubts be removed, that we will pray believing that God will hear and God will answer prayer. We see here how vital faith is. Matthew 17, verse 20. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. If we have the smallest particle of faith in our great God, then we will see our prayers answered. Our prayers will be effectual before him. A lady who saw her prayers answered was referred to as the woman of great faith, but she responded, no, I am the woman of little faith in a great God. And this morning, that ought to be the way we look at things, having little faith, but in a great God. In Mark 9 and 23, the Lord spoke to the man who brought his son who was taken with an unclean spirit. And he said this to him in Mark 9, 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. Notice the very next verse, in verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And surely, we need to cry like the apostles of old today. Increase our faith. Luke 17, 5. You remember the words that were spoken by the Lord to Martha at Lazarus' grave. In John 11, verse 40. Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. She had already been given the promise, if you read the context there in John chapter 11. She needed to believe. And so we today need to believe the promises of God. Remember that such promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The Lord is true to his word. Let us believe him this morning. In James 1 and verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith. Paul wrote to Timothy these words in 1 Timothy 2 and 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. How vital is faith. But how vibrant is faith. Note the man who with tears believed. in Mark 9. And his son was delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This man had been born of four into the very presence of Christ. You remember they uncovered the roof and they let this man down into the very presence of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ rewarded their faith. There are those who are lifting up souls in the arms of faith. There are those who are carrying those souls into the very presence of Christ that he might intervene in their case. Is this what we are doing? Expressing faith in Christ on their behalf? How vibrant is their faith? But then I want you to see how valuable such faith is. It is invaluable. Through such faith, great things can be accomplished. Remember this, my friend, that with God, all things are possible. It's something precious. Oh, that we might lay hold upon it, that we might exercise it this morning. Jesus himself recognized its true value as he came before the Father in prayer. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember on Golgotha itself. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus. You remember the great prayer of Christ in John chapter 17. And so many times in the Gospels we have recorded for us how the Lord Jesus Christ withdrew himself to the Father to pray. He knew how valuable faith and prayer was. What an example this is to follow Christ in prayer. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer this morning? Oh, may we follow him. How valuable prayer is. How vibrant it is. How vital it is. But how victorious such faith is in prayer. The diseased were healed. The blind saw. The lame walked. The captives were liberated. The dead were given life. And my friend, today, if we believe God in prayer, then God will do for us far more exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. May we know in our lives this victorious faith continually. And may we see it in the lives of others for the glory and for the honor of his name. I want you to see, secondly, the explanation that is given here in regard to faith and prayer. Look at verse 21, what it says. It says, "If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." The mountain will be removed. And how great are the mountains that are before us in our experience. Got any valleys you think are impassable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in that which is impossible. He can do what no other can do. These mountains loom large and great before us. But by faith and prayer, we can see the mountains removed by the miraculous intervention of God. Maybe there are mountains of doubt before you today. Many folks see these mountains continually before them and it seems as if they will never be removed. And there are doubts and fears that continually assail God's people. And perhaps you're here today and these doubts are like great mountains before you. You cannot get them removed. But God's word says if we believe, we can see the mountains removed. It shall be done. Maybe you've got doubts about your salvation. And there are many people who have doubts about their salvation. But the Bible says these are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Thank God we have his word to remove the doubts in relation to our salvation. Maybe you have doubts about your service for God. Thank God he can remove those doubts. Maybe you have doubts in relation to prayer. Thank God he can remove those doubts today. Spurgeon said he doubted the man who never doubted. And we all have doubts in various spheres of life.
But by faith, as we come to God in prayer, these can be removed. These can be erased forever from our view. We could be at perfect peace.
Mountains of doubt. Maybe there are mountains of difficulty. Difficulties in your home life. Difficulties in the workplace. Difficulties in the school or college or university where you are. Difficulties just in general in life. The Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And maybe you've come here today and there are mountains of difficulty before you. You don't know how you're going to see it through. You don't know how you're going to see those removed. As we seek the Lord in prayer and look to Him in faith, God will make a way through for us. He'll make a way through for us. Mountains of difficulty. Maybe there are mountains of depression. Maybe you're downcast here this morning. Maybe you're even despairing, and so many are in the valley of depression today. They are cast down. They cannot sleep. They find no rest. They're in absolute turmoil of mind. They cannot cope with the problems of life. They're utterly stressed out. Is this you today? Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Our hope is in God today. Our help is found in Him alone. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's a hymn in our hymn book, Does Jesus Care? It's a series of questions. It was written by a Methodist minister who was in the depths of depression and despair. And he wrote these series of questions. And he wrote this hymn when he was coming out of that period of depression and despair. And then the chorus says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. And thank God the Lord cares for you this morning. Mountains of depression. Maybe there are mountains of decisions you have to make. Deciding certain things in your life. There are so many decisions that we have to make from day to day. Maybe you have to make a decision about a relationship in life that you're involved in. Well, of course, you need the Lord's mind. You need to know the Lord's will. You need to know this is the way that the Lord would have you to do. Often we make the wrong decisions, and then the mountain becomes even steeper before us. But seek the Lord in prayer about every decision of life, and be led in the perfect will of God. And by faith, step forward in His will, and the mountain will become a plain. Mountains of decision. Mountains of darkness. Many are enveloped in such darkness today. Did you ever look out of your window and see a mountain enshrouded in darkness? Life's experience can be like that. Sickness, perhaps, has come upon your body. Weakness in your frame this morning. And you find yourself in the midst of sickness for yourself or the sickness of a loved one. And there's a mountain of darkness before you. It's a mountain maybe of sorrow or of separation. It has come upon your life. The Lord will take your hand today, and by faith He will bring you through. And you will discover the removal of that mountain of darkness before you. The Bible says, walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Mountains of depravity. We look at this day after day in our land and in this world of ours. Men and women and young people down in the slough of depravity, down in the cesspool of wickedness and shame. The vileness and wickedness of society is ever before us. The godlessness of this world, even in our community. Home after home, men and women, our young people are without Christ. There is drunkenness in our society. There is drug addiction. There is adultery. There is sodomy. There is dishonesty. There is deceit. There is the breaking of the Lord's day. There is sin of every description in our midst, but by faith we can see the mountains of depravity removed. We can see God's grace made manifest even in this community where God has placed this church. And God moving into these streets and God moving in around this church where this church is situated and saving the souls of men and women and boys and girls. It is through the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. Third thing this morning is the extent in regard to faith and prayer. You notice the expressions that are used here in these verses. For example, all things whatsoever he shall ask in prayer. What inclusiveness we have here. In John 14, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I give you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do anything. W.P. Nicholson used to say about that, he said, anything, don't boil it. Don't boil it. You know exactly what he meant. Don't try to limit the Lord. Ask anything. All things. Whatever the problem is, whatever the burden is, whatever the petition is, bring it to the Lord. There's length and there's depth and there's height here. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and 7, we are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock. Notice chapter 11 of Mark, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things, or what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What things soever ye desire. What an expression that is. What fullness there is there. All our desires, in other words. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. John 15, verse 17. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and shall be done unto you. Ask what ye will. John 16, 23, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. John 15, 16, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so we could go on through scripture after scripture. There's no limit to what God can do. The expressions that are used. You'll notice the exhortations that are underlined. Exhortations to seek the Lord in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. For example, you have that in Luke 18 and 1. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12, Ephesians 6. Praying always. And so we could go on to give you quotation after quotation. To cite verse after verse. Let us never hold our peace in prayer. Let us never be silent in prayer. Let us be consistent at the prayer meeting. The Wednesday night prayer meeting, the times of prayer before the services. Let's be consistent in our prayer. The Bible speaks of the church in prayer. The church met for prayer. Oh yes, we must privately pray in our private devotion. But the church met. The body of believers met, Acts 12, and again other portions. Acts 1 as well, 120 people. Not only men in the prayer meeting, but women in the prayer meeting as well. And so there's a role for women in the church and in praying in the church. Thank God for the praying women in the church. We encourage you, ladies, this morning to pray. We encourage you as regards the prayer life of the church and the work of the church as a whole is concerned, along with the man. And of course, they're not only the exhortations underlined, but they're the examples that are underscored, the supreme example of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Christ in the school of prayer. In the wilderness he prayed. On the mountain he prayed. In the garden he prayed. On the cross he prayed. And then you have the example of the saints in prayer. Acts 2, 42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And in breaking of bread. And in prayer.
And when they had prayed, the Bible says, the place was shaken where they were met together. We need to pray. We need to seek God. This is the role of the church. This is the role of all of us this morning. To be engaged in prayer, more prayer. And then the effect of such prayer. It says in verse 22, if you go back to Matthew 21, ye shall receive. What a promise. What a promise this is. And you go to Matthew 7 and it says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Let's claim the promise today. Let's claim the promise. Let's see the promise realized in each of our lives. Remember Elijah prayed? And the widow's son was raised. He prayed and the rain was withheld and there was drought upon the land. He prayed again and the rain came. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Remember Elisha prayed. A double portion of the Spirit came upon him. The Shunammite's son was raised. You remember Hezekiah prayed and his life was spared and God gave him another 15 years. In 2 Kings 20. Remember Nehemiah prayed and the Lord helped him and the enemies were defeated and God's work was established. You remember the church prayed and the Holy Ghost came in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and subsequent chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Silas prayed. The jailer and his household were saved. Acts chapter 16. Men and women, let's get back to prayer. Prayer must be at the source of everything we do in this church. Of everything we do in our Christian lives, prayer must be the basic foundation. Personally, ye shall receive. Powerfully, ye shall receive. Plentifully, ye shall receive. There shall be showers of blessing. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Let our homes be houses of prayer. I always remember as a child, my father, who was a farmer in those early days, and he always came in from milking the cows, and before we went to school, he opened the Bible and he prayed. I always remember lying in bed and listening to him praying and mentioning all the names of our family in prayer. And some of those prayers aren't answered yet. But I'm praying that God will still answer them for those that are not yet in the family and bring them in. We need our houses to be houses of prayer. Other things have taken over in our homes and we've missed out on the place of prayer. And our churches need to be churches of prayer. I remember times when you couldn't have got into the prayer meeting. I remember those days, even in this church, in the old church down the road. I know many churches have been formed in other places and our numbers are not the same. But my friend, our aim should be the same. Get into that prayer meeting before the service. Get into the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Get there consistently. Work your schedule of life around the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the most important meeting. And if this church is to go forward, we must be at the prayer meeting. And we must be praying that God will bring a man to the pulpit. And we must be praying for every aspect of the work. My house shall be called a house of prayer. But maybe you're here and you've never prayed. I remember the night I was saved. I didn't see a flashing light. I didn't get a great sensation, but I knew I needed to be saved. And God convicted me, and I called upon His name. And there at my own bedside, just up the road here, 153 Ravenhill Road, I could take you, if I was to take you into that house today, I could take you to the very room where I was saved. May have changed in other ways, but I know the room there at the front of the house. And I knelt down at my bed and called upon God. And He saved me. 15th of January 1969. I know I only look like 21, but that isn't the case, friend.
thank God He saved me. But if you've never been saved, thank God you can be saved this morning. You can trust in Christ today. You can be born again of the Spirit of God before you leave this service. I trust God will write His Word upon our hearts. Let's pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy holy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.